Thank you. Very pleased to be here.
Our absolute pleasure. Now, Kevin, the big political story of the week has no doubt been the repeal of the Republican healthcare bill, or was pulled back despite the fact that they were claiming they were going to repeal and replace Obamacare with the so-called Trump care. Have we seen many waves coming out of this this back down from the Republicans?
Well, I think it. One thing you can say is that in any of the policies that have been proposed by the president in the lead up to the election or being elected, they all have to be enacted by Congress. And repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare as otherwise known, was a key platform of that lead up in the election. It was a very well publicized position for them, as was things like corporate tax cuts, infrastructure spending, building a wall. All these things have been sort of out there. And the stock markets in the US have been rallying of late around the hope that there would be corporate tax cuts, there would be big infrastructure spending. And so the impact of the Affordable Care Act being pulled from the debate in the House in Congress has led to question marks over the rest of the agenda and whether that will transpire in the way that it had been spoken about before and immediately after the election.
Mm. Those tax cuts you mentioned there, obviously it has been a big floating question mark after the healthcare bill, in spite of the Republicans controlling the Senate, unable to get the votes from their own party, has put this big question mark over the next big agenda item, the tax cuts. What's the latest there, Kev?
Well, I think in some sense, it is back to the drawing board in terms of the negotiations on all of the programs. The immediate reaction from the White House was that, we will move on to the next thing, which is the tax cuts. But you know, the US political system is in some ways similar to ours, but it's also very different. And it's very different in that people don't vote along party lines. So even though you have a Republican president who says, I would like to pass this bill, we're used to here in Australia, if the Prime Minister says, I propose this bill, then the whole party votes for it. And if they've got the numbers because they've got the power, it goes through in the lower house, not the Senate. But in the US, you can't even get party unity on these things. So you have to get your own party aligned. And then you've actually got to get it through the Senate. And the Republicans only have 52 votes in the Senate out of 100, which seems like a majority, but you really need 60 to get anything passed. And so there's going to be a lot of horse trading, as they say, to go on. We saw that during the debate around the Affordable Care Act, but as you say, they ended up pulling it from the debate because they couldn't get enough headway on those negotiations. And I think this will be another fraught set of negotiations that will take place.
Well, Trump sort of prided himself on being the king deal maker, as it were, and yet, in spite of this horse trading that seems to be required, what do you make of Trump's latest tactics in the debate, in the sort of negotiations?
Well, I think that it's the role of president is also unusual and not always what people think. The president has very, very little power in the U.S. The president cannot propose laws, cannot change laws. The only thing the president can do is say no to something, which means to really get a proposal through the House from the president, you really have to bring along the entire constituency of the House of Congress and quite usually people from the other side of the aisle as well. And there was a lot of debate leading up into the election around Washington insiders versus Washington outsiders. And while you could make lots of comments about whether the machine itself is valuable and valid and all those sorts of things, the machine exists. And to make changes, you've got to work within the confines of the machine. And I think it's very different to the business world, where you have a CEO who makes a decision and then people move on.
I do love that kind of talk, but I did want to focus on some of your areas of expertise, Kevin, looking at some of the more economic side of things. Morgan Stanley claims that there is now a record gap between U.S. hard and soft economic data. Consumer sentiment, it's at a 17-year high. Small business confidence also improving. I got to say, it's a little bit surprising to me, but why the gap?
Well, I think you will always get a gap, either positive or negative, when you're changing at a turning point in the cycle. So it's not unusual to get a gap because if you think about it, the hard economic data is the data that's calculated on a post-quarterly basis on what's actually happened in the economy. But confidence drives the economy. So if people are confident, they're going to go out, they're going to spend money, they're going to invest in their business, and that will spur the economic growth. So you usually get either a leading indicator or either positive or negative, because also if people lose confidence, they stop spending, and then the business impact is felt 3-6 months later. So you always get this lead and lag. What you're seeing here, though, is that there has been an extremely positive sentiment reaction from the business community to the promise of some of the things that Donald Trump had spoken about, again, from an economic perspective. So the infrastructure spend, the tax cuts, bringing jobs back to America, all those sorts of things he's been talking about spur business confidence. And so business confidence is up. What you're not seeing is it tracking through to the actual hard data yet. And it's too early to see that. But I think the gap between the hard and the soft data is saying that the business community is actually very hopeful that this will turn out the way that they hope it will, and that there is that positive sentiment. And it's also that you've got a Republican president and a Republican Congress. We haven't had that for a long while in the US. And as I said, the president can generally only say no. And we've had a Democrat president and a Republican Congress, so nothing's really happened. There hasn't been any major legislation. The Dodd-Frank Act and the Affordable Care Act happened in the early part of President Obama's term when you had a Democrat Congress as well. And then you've had really nothing. And so all of a sudden you've now got the opportunity for actual legislation to be passed, and that legislation that people are talking about in the business community is this infrastructure spending and the tax cuts.
Mm. It's a fascinating development. You did write about the end of financial regulation, referring specifically to the Trump administration recommending a review and a handing back of financial empowerment to ordinary American wealth. But there's no law change actually recommended. This Dodd-Frank Act that you just mentioned, undoing the Dodd-Frank Act, what kind of repercussions do you feel that's likely to have?
So I think the first thing is that they won't, I firmly believe that you won't see a repeal of Dodd-Frank. Now, Dodd-Frank, like a lot of things, is one of those terms that just gets thrown out there. Dodd-Frank was the comprehensive legislative response from the government on the financial crisis. It addressed things like ending too big to fail. It addressed things like derivatives market regulation, consumer protection, fiduciary responsibility. There's a whole range of issues that were put into this one, what they call omnibus piece of legislation, covered everything. Now, there's long been parts of that that have caused concern around the implementation. I think that there is a possibility that some of that does get changed. But the other thing that could change is the way that the agencies implement the Dodd-Frank Act. So I think that you will see some changes. I don't think that there is an appetite, I will admit, to have wholesale deregulation of, as they refer to it in the US, Wall Street. I don't think there's an appetite for that on either side of the aisle in Congress. However, there is an appetite to look for and remove onerous regulation that seems to serve no purpose. And I won't go into the details, but there's elements of the Dodd-Frank Act, which the compliance regime that has to be put in place for the benefit you receive is questionable. And I think that is part of where, when the president asks the administration to review the elements of Dodd-Frank, they're the things that they're going to go look for. So if I could, just quickly, one of those is the Volcker Rule.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Volcker Rule prohibits banks from proprietary trading. Now, on the face of it, that might seem a sensible option because you don't want banks to speculate heavily in the markets, lose a lot of money, and put depositors' money at risk, which is some of what we saw leading up into the crisis. But the way that that ban is implemented has led to it's indescribable how much compliance and proof the banks have to do every time they buy or sell something in the markets. And banks buy or sell things. You want to go to the bank and you want to trade some foreign exchange, or you want to buy some bonds or invest in a long-term fixed-rate instrument. That all goes through the bank's trading rooms. And at the moment, there are other mechanisms you could use to limit the amount of speculative trading that banks engage in, but the Volcker rule itself has been one of those ones that seems like it's overly burdensome compliance for the benefit it gets. And so things like that. And the important piece about that is no one is talking about allowing banks to speculate with depositors' money.
Mm.
And so therefore, it's what you replace it with, which comes back to the Affordable Care Act or the Obamacare issue, which is repeal and replace. But what do you replace it with? And there's a lot of question marks over that. And how much of it can you actually repeal given the current state of play in Congress?
Mm. Well, it is an intriguing time in US politics. Kevin, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us this morning.
No problems.